Hello everybody, this is English for You, and a very warm welcome to the studio. With me today, I'll have my Fosaco students. Kotto, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Sobolch, how's it hanging?
Great, thanks.
Okay. Vicky, what's up?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. How are you doing?
I'm great.
Might you give me a nice wave and a nice smile?
Hi, Victor.
How are you doing?
I'm very happy today.
Good. Okay. Today's special guest is Mr. Paul Garrison. And all I can say is, at this stage, that he is from Denver, Colorado. Paul, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And I would like to ask you this question. What do you know about Denver, Colorado? Anything that comes into your mind?
It's in the United States.
Excellent. Very important piece of information. Anything else?
Good NHL team. Good NHL team, yeah.
Is that
Colorado
true, Paul?
Avalanche?
Yeah, two times champions. We always say world champions.
Excellent. Can you see where it is on the map? Colorado, Denver. We're going to have a map pretty soon here, and we're going to locate this. Where would you put it? We have lots of regions, like Mideast, South.
To the west, I guess.
Somewhere to the west. Could I have the next picture, please? And it's going to be this. If you can make out the word, would you read it out, please? Kotto.
And which word?
This one.
The Rocky Mountain region.
The Rocky Mountain region. Is that true?
That's correct.
The Rocky Mountain region. And we have a couple of states here. Is this Colorado?
No.
What's that?
Idaho.
Idaho. And what about this?
Wyoming.
This is...
And not Colorado.
And this one?
Nah, that's Utah.
Utah. That's going to be the Winter Olympics there, right?
Yes.
Salt Lake City. And this one?
Colorado.
Thanks, God. Finally, we found it. So it's going to be Colorado. And we're going to have the next map. And this is Colorado. So we are focusing on Colorado. And we have three words here. Aspen, Colorado Springs, and Denver. What can you say about Aspen and Colorado Springs, Paul?
Colorado Springs is famous because that's where the whole defense apparatus for the NORAD is. And then Aspen's famous for skiing, and Denver's the capital.
So Denver is the capital, and you are from Denver, and we're going to have a beautiful picture. I believe this is going to be your hometown. Why is it called a High Mile City?
The Mile High.
Mile High City.
It's exactly 5,280 feet, which is exactly 1 mile above sea level, which I guess would be about 1,500 meters.
You recognize this picture?
Sure. That's from near where I live. That's City Park, Városliget for Colorado.
Városliget, Colorado. Good. Excellent. Good. A time travel. And I would like you to go back in time. And it's going to be a picture of a young boy. I wonder if you recognize this young boy.
It's not you, Victor.
Not me. Thank you very much. I appreciate this. And this is Paul. How many years ago, approximately?
A long time ago, Victor. I was 18. How about 18. That?
Fine. Say 25 years ago.
Oh, okay. Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. 25 years ago. What was in the mind of this young boy? What were his ambitions? Can you go back in time a little?
All about skiing at that point. You know, ski racing, skiing, that was my passion year-round. I'd be skiing on glaciers during the summer and thinking about skiing or training for skiing pretty much year-round.
Sort of champion you wanted to be?
I wanted to be. At that point, we almost had a chance to get the Winter Olympics that year.
Right. Okay. Now, this is going to be, again, time travel for you, but we are going into the future now. 25 years from now, it's now 2001, so we are in 2026. You are not 17, Kotto, but you are sort of 40-ish. Can you see yourself?
Well, not really, not exactly, but I'm sure I will have had married by that time, and I I hope I will have some job. I don't know what.
What kind of job?
I really don't know. I know that I am not going to be a lawyer, and not anything connected to that job.
Maybe some kind of something to do with film or television, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Good. Mochi, I can see you at the back, sort of boring. Oh, bored, I would say. Forget about boring. Bored a little. 25 years from now, can you see yourself?
Yeah.
Picture yourself.
I'm sitting in a studio, and there's an old man with no hair, and he said, "Hello, everybody, this is English for you, and a very warm welcome in the studio, my dear Fazeka student." That's all.
So that's all you can see. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So do you think you're going to be a television personality, a kind of?
I don't know yet.
You don't know? Okay, fine. This is going to be the first word for today, motto, a short statement ruling someone's life, expressing beliefs. What if I say this, and it's going to be on the projector pretty soon, be the best. Is it a good motto for you?
Yeah, I think so.
Does it mean that you have a sort of overdeveloped sense of competitiveness, that you want to be better than everybody else?
I think that's a good motto or a bad motto. It's a bad motto, I think, if you try to be better than everybody else. If you try to be the best you can be with whatever talent you have, I think that is a very good motto.
So the best you can be.
Right.
You would go for this.
With what skills you have and situation.
Be the best you can be. Good. There's going to be another picture of Paul Garrison. Meet Paul Garrison, the sportsman. Right? So this is one identity of Paul, the sportsman. Can you say anything about this picture?
I was trying to go very fast. My motto in skiing was, how could anybody who looks so fast be so slow? So I look very fast, and I'm just barely moving, though, I think.
Right. And then we have another picture. Meet Paul Garrison, the businessman.
Here in Hungary.
Yeah, here in Hungary. So what's the story? What's your businessman identity?
Marketing for years with Coca-Cola and Procter & Gamble. Did a business career after my skiing.
And what about this particular picture? You're holding up something.
That's actually at the Coca-Cola Beach House in Sheehafook. That was the first or second year of the Beach House. The division that I worked in at that time became the top division for Coca-Cola worldwide. And we had a celebration at the Coca-Cola Beach House, which was one of the reasons we became one of the top divisions.
Right. So we've already talked about Paul as a sportsman, Paul as a businessman, but that's not why I have invited him. The reason for this is this book. So meet Paul Garrison, the writer. Okay? And there's a beautiful picture over here, and it's going to be on the projector pretty soon, and I would like you, Szabolcs, to say a couple of sentences about the picture.
Sure.
Right.
Well, you can see a tank in the foreground. Maybe we are in the center of war. Maybe we are in Hungary, just in connection with this book. Maybe we are in the 50s, something in connection with 56. We can see just one person on the street. The streets are deserted. The houses and the buildings are full of holes, and maybe they are nearly destroyed.
So your gut reaction is that it must be 1956 somewhere. Is that true?
That's correct.
Right. 1956. Do you have a story with 1956? I ask you, all of you, to ask your parents or grandparents. Victoria.
Yes, my grandmother told me that it was a pretty interesting period because before that there was an unbelievable terror. We can hardly imagine, like, you had a certain amount of firewood and you couldn't use anymore, and it was prohibited to sell or buy any coal, and my grandma just needed to do it because she had a baby daughter at home and another daughter who was sick, and that's why she just needed to keep them warm, and she nearly got very badly punished for it. And then it was this wonderful feeling of exhilaration and tranquility, and she could see a lot of tanks in the streets with our national flags on them, and all the people thought they would have a chance to lead a normal life from then on.
Thank you very much.
Good story.
It's a very nice story. We have this book. Paul, would you read it out in Hungarian, the title?
Beton Szobrok,
Could you come up with the English title? Can you translate this? Beton Sobrok? Anybody?
Concrete statues.
Say it again.
Concrete statues.
Here we go. Excellent. Congratulations. We have concrete statues. So this is in English too. And I believe first it was in English and then it was translated. And it's hot off the press. So it was published a month ago, say.
Correct.
Right. Very interesting title. Why, Paul? Why have you chosen this title?
One thing that struck me when I first came to Hungary was the amount of things made out of concrete. The Balaton shore is filled in with concrete where there used to be nice beaches. Telephone posts are made out of concrete. You probably don't notice it so much. But when you make a statue out of concrete, I think that's the ultimate in not getting it, because statues are about art, and art is about individuality, and concrete is about mass. So my view, the regime that you talked about in pre-56 was all about mass and didn't care about the individuals. And subsequently, the fact they'd use concrete for everything, including art, showed, I think, symbolically what that period was about in a metaphor, if you will.
Thank you very much. We're going to have a photograph here, a photograph of a water polo team. And I found that photograph in your office hanging on one of the walls. So I grabbed it, sort of stole it. Now it's right here, and I'm going to have these two words, bloodbath and a water polo team. Can you connect these two things, Paul?
56, the revolution in the bloodbath. The bloodbath happened because there was a very difficult match. In fact, it was very similar to the match that was in Sydney just last summer between last summer it was the Russians and the Hungarians, but in 56 it was the Soviets. And that happened just a few weeks after the rebellion was quashed by 16 divisions of Russian soldiers, Soviet soldiers. They played a match symbolically in Melbourne, where the Summer Olympics was that year, and the emotions got very high. And you can see the guy on the right side with the white shirt, you can see his right eye is very messed up. He caught an elbow in the closing minutes and started bleeding very much. And as he walked out of the pool, Desi Jamarti, the captain, the guy in the center with the patch.
Jarmati Desi, right?
Yes. Said, walk in front, let these people see how Hungarians cannot be beaten. You can make us bleed, but you can't beat us. And we're going to win the match. They won the match 4-0 and went on to win the gold medal. And the people got so excited, there was a lot of Hungarians in the crowd that had left Hungary just recently. They got so excited that seeing his blood on his chest and in the water, that's where they call it the bloodbath, they stormed the pool and the game never ended. The Russians had to run out of the pool for their lives, literally, and locked themselves in the locker room behind a big door. And the Hungarians were after him. And these guys won the gold medal, as you can see.
Am I right if I say that this was a sort of spark for you to start writing the book when you first came across this story?
Yeah, it's a great metaphor about sports and life. These guys knew they were just competing in a water polo match, but it meant more than that on that day.
Thank you very much. You're going to find a card in your desk. Would you please hold up your card? And you can see names on them. So, Sobocz, would you please hold up your card like this so that everybody can see them? And they are the characters in Paul's book. Paul, would you be so kind as to introduce these people, the characters?
Well, Tomasz is one of the brothers, and Peter's the other brother. Tomasz is a player on the water polo team, and he competes. He's a fiction character, but he competes with this real-life team that blend the two, the real history with the fiction, which I think is interesting. So Tomasz and Peter are brothers. Peter stays behind and is an editor for the Technical University newspaper and gets very involved in the fighting on the street and the demonstrations, the marches, etc. So Tomasz is in love with Rekha. Peter's in love with Gabriella.
Husband and wife?
Nope. Later in the book, these two marry.
Bela is alone.
Bela is alone.
would you be so kind as to describe Bela? So what kind of a character?
Bela needs to be alone. Bela is not a very nice man. He is a lieutenant in the Abiha, and he is very jealous because he loves Gabriella. So he is trying to break Peter and Gabriella apart because it's become very personal for him. As an Abiha man, he has a role to play in the revolution, of course. as the bad guy, but he also plays a very personal bad guy because he very definitely has a personal agenda breaking Gabriella and Peter apart. And the plot really revolves around them getting involved in all the events and trying to keep away from Bela.
Good. Do you understand this Aveha man? Aveha, államvédelmi hatóság, a sort of police inside the party. Right. Sorry about that, Matthew.
Okay. After the show.
Good. We're going to have a couple of words here. And we still need your cards. Protagonist and antagonist. So who is the protagonist of your book? If you had to say one name,
Peter. Which
one? Peter? Victor, would you please hold up your cards?
Thomas.
Sorry. Saborg.
Congratulations.
Good guy.
Good guy. Pro.
Yeah. So this is the protagonist. And you can also say that he is the hero of the book, right?
Sure.
Hero or protagonist, the most important character. And here we have a goodie, a hero.
Yes.
Bela is... Who is the antagonist? Sorry.
Bela.
Bela. Would you hold up your card again? But also not just an antagonist, but also a real villain. Very, very bad guy.
Right.
Like Iago was a villain. Shakespeare's Othello is really a villain, and here it's Bela, okay? And is there a heroine in the book?
Yeah, I think Gabriella will be the major heroine. Reka to a degree, but mostly Gabriella.
Gabriella, and Reka is a secondary character? That's what?
Yes.
A secondary character. So we have protagonist, antagonist, and secondary characters, okay? Very good. Right. Good. We're going to see a couple of pictures, and over to you, Paul. I wonder if you recognize these pictures.
I hope so.
It's going to be a very nice shot. Well, nice shot. And if you recognize this... Okay, so where are we?
We're on Brody Sándor utca.
And where are the characters? Can you remember where Peter is, where Tomás is?
Mostly Peter and Gabriella there, and Bela is on top of a building facing the radio station and starts firing on the crowds. Sorry, you're not a very nice man, and you start firing on the
yeah,
on the people gathered below.
Okay. Somebody has to be the antagonist, too.
Somebody's got to be the antagonist.
That's your job.
Right. And we're going to have another picture. And I believe you're going to recognize it pretty soon. It's going to come. And again, the question is the same. What are the characters doing? What are your characters doing in the novel? It's going to come pretty soon, right? And then I'm going to ask you another question. How did you prepare for the book? But first, we're going to see this. You need any help?
No, I know what it is. You're asking me now?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
It's the Corvin, I believe. And you're looking at it, I believe, from Joseph Krut.
Joseph Krut. So this is the Corvin. Fantastic, this guy. I mean, he knows everything. The characters?
Peter becomes involved in the fighting at the Corvin. It was the biggest group of freedom fighters during the revolution. Several thousand were gathered there. And it was strategically a very important place where it was located at a very important intersection. But it was very defendable. If you go to the Corvin today, you can see how the movie house itself would be a very good headquarters and how it could control. It's very defendable.
Good. All right. So how did you prepare for the book? Reading? Going to libraries?
And talking to an awful lot of people, like your grandmother has a story. Everybody has it. That history is still alive today. Where a lot of histories for different countries, dramatic historical moments are, you know, a couple hundred years ago. This is 45 years ago. So those people are still alive. So some of the best stories I actually got firsthand. And I met several people.
Can you recall a couple of names?
Well, there's a story about the...
a couple of famous people you talked to.
Oh, Bela Kidai and Pongratz, people like that I spoke to.
Jarmati Dezső,
sure, the very beginning.
The water polo team. Right. So talking to people, that's one thing. Another thing?
Just the individual stories that you hear. For example, the boy that you see, you've probably been to the Corvin, there's a little boy there, about 12, 14 years old. And Pongratz, that's a kid named Yanchi, and he'd sneak out of his bed at home at night and go fight tanks. His mother came and captured him. His mother captured him underneath, hiding in the Corvin, and took him home by grabbing his ear and locked him in the bathroom for he wouldn't go out and attack tanks anymore. And he snuck out the window of his house and went back to the Corvin and continued fighting, and his mother would come looking for him. He was much more afraid of his mother than he was the Russian tank.
Thank
so
you.
Stories like that come, make it, the history come alive.
Right. Okay, I've got to ask this question. I mean, look at Paul, the boy from Denver, Colorado, the businessman for a very successful multinational company. How come that you write a book about 1956? I absolutely got to ask this. And we're going to have a newspaper, and the newspaper says, 7th of January 1957, I think that's your birthday, right?
That January 7th, correct.
And we have a newspaper article here, Kadar, Hans, Hungary, Jolt. So, was it written in the stars that you've got to write a book about the Hungarian Revolution?
Hungary was.
So why you? That's the question. Why you?
Well, you don't pick the story you stumble upon, and I really did stumble upon this story. And the more the curiosity drove me in to learn more. And I'm still curious. I'm still learning an awful lot about it and the events preceding it. If you understand 56, you can't, unless you understand what happened in the Second World War. You can't understand what happened in the Second World War unless you understand Trianon and what happened before that. So the more I dug in, the more I felt there's a story. I felt there was a need for a story to be told about everyday people capturing a real-life moment. One day they're in school, the next day they're fighting tanks.
Yes, and I'm going to have... I've picked two words. I wonder if you agree with this, that you really liked about 1956. Would you read out those two words and maybe a little bit of explanation?
Spontaneous and inclusive. Two things. Spontaneous. Very seldom do you have a revolution that starts overnight, as it did in Hungary. On the night of the 23rd, it became a revolution. And literally, people who are going about their lives one day, the next day they're behind streetcars and fighting tanks. A war zone overnight.
And it touched you?
Sure, it didn't happen like that very often. And it was so spontaneous. So many different freedom fighter groups spontaneously came up all over the city and all over the country. Inclusive, because I think that's something that's lost a little bit about 56, that it was inclusive. I would use the word glorious about it, and I hate to use that word because it's such a powerful word, but it was inclusive. The people that were involved, little kids, from all of Hungarian society, all different races and religions, and you know, Hungary is a very diverse society, and all those people were involved, intellectuals, workers. Everybody was involved fighting for the same thing.
Thank you very much. We're going to have three words here, and I would like you to choose one, my students. Which one would you choose to describe the Hungarian Revolution, to define the Hungarian Revolution? Revolution, riot, or uprising? It's not that obvious. Which one would you choose? Kata?
I guess revolution, because I don't know what riot is, and I think uprising is not good here.
Is not good here. Vicky?
I don't know either what riot is.
Right. So what is riot?
I don't know.
Over to you, Paul, again. What is riot?
That is spontaneous, but it's not usually so positive. And that was not what 56 was about. A riot is what you'll see when people will loot stores and really just go out in the street because they're upset. They're angry, and they take that anger out on rolling cars over and
setting
fire.
We have a good Hungarian word for riot, zavargás. Uprising, and this is going to be our last thing on the projector. I checked the Longman Dictionary, and for uprising, it says, an occasion when a group of people use violence to try to change the rules, laws, etc., in an institution or country. And the Longman Dictionary gives something that is the 1956 Hungarian uprising. So that's the example. That's the classic example, according to the Longman Dictionary, printed in London, England. So as far as revolution is concerned, the Longman Dictionary gives the French Revolution. As far as uprising is concerned, the Longman Dictionary gives 1956. And just the last thing, thank you very much for coming again. I think we've learned a lot about the Hungarian Revolution or uprising from somebody from Denver, Colorado, which is very nice. And we have lots of copies here, a couple of copies, not just this, but a couple of other copies here. And would you be so kind as to dedicate, as to write a couple of sentences for us so that the kids can learn
English?
Okay, thank you very much. You need a pen, and again, thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for you guys.
And next week is going to be English for you again. Bye-bye.
Nézz hosszan egy gyermek arcra, és látni fogod, ha van sors, hát nagyon korán elkezdődik. Évente több mint 5000 szívbeteg gyermek születik hazánkban. Alapítványunk hozzájárul a szívbeteg gyermekek ellátásához, a gyermekszívátültetések és a műszívkezelések sikeréhez. Mindezt az önök 1%-os felajánlásai teszik lehetővé, melyre idén is számítunk. Köszönjük!
A JML Fast Fit vasalódeszka borító megkönnyíti a vasalást. Erős, rugalmas széle van, így minden deszkára illeszkedik. Mivel vastag az alátét, a gombok fölött is vasalhat. A speciális hővisszaverő rétege miatt elég egy oldalról vasalni. Csúszásgátló felülete megtartja a ruhákat. Páratlanul elegáns választékban kínáljuk, és mosógépben is mosható. Ideje az öreg vasalódeszka borítót kicserélni. Keresse a Fast Fitet a Tesco áruházakban.
Kossuth Rádió, a szavak ereje. Köszönjük, hogy minket hallgat!